Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, The Activities of the Prachetas, Text Number 11. Yadyuyam Pitor Adesham
Yadyuyam Pitor Adesham
Agrahishta Mudam Ditaha
Agrahishta Mudam Ditaha
Atova Ushati Tirtir
Atova Ushati Tirtir
Lokanam Upadishati
Lokanam Upadishati.
Because you have, with pleasure, accepted within your hearts the orders of your father, and have executed those orders very faithfully, your attractive qualities will be celebrated all over the world. Please repeat. Because you have with pleasure accepted within your hearts the orders of your father. And have executed those orders.
Very faithfully.
Your attractive qualities will be celebrated all over the world.
Purport.
Since every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has small independence. Sometimes unintelligent men ask why one is put into a miserable condition, even though everyone is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because of his minute independence, the living entity can obey or disobey the orders of the Supreme Lord. If he obeys the Lord's orders, he becomes happy. If he does not, he becomes unhappy. Therefore, the living entity creates its own happiness or unhappiness. The Supreme Lord does not enforce these on anyone. The Supreme Lord prays the Prachetas because they all faithfully obey the orders of their father. The Lord therefore blessed the sons of King Prachini Varisha because they obey their father's orders. Yara Yuyam Vitor Adesham Agrahisham Mudam Vitaha Atova Ushiti. Tirtir Lokan Anupavishati. Because you have, with pleasure, accepted within your hearts the orders of your father, and have executed those orders very faithfully, your attractive qualities will be celebrated all over the world. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Vidhaya Kimadeva Bhakti Nama Swami Panamne Namaste Sarasukundeva Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishe Shashunivadi Pasvadiyadi Sukharna. I'm very happy to be here and have the opportunity to say something as an aspiring servant of Srila Prabhupada, so that perhaps I myself and others may more deeply appreciate Srila Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, and the goal of life to become fully Krishna conscious. So here it mentions about orders of the father. Hari Prasad Dev has also talked about orders of the father and many other orders. He has said, Gurur na satsyat, swajano na satsyat, Pita nasya syan, syash janani nasya syan, daivam nasya syan, daivam natasyan, pita, patis nasya syan, namosya yatsum paitum virtum. That one should not become a father, one should not become a mother. One should not become a guru. One should not become a husband. One should not become a worshipful demigod. And one should not become a father and mother, unless one is prepared to deliver one's disciples or followers from the path of repeated birth and death. The whole goal of everything we're doing, or the whole goal of whatever responsibility we have is to help our dependents understand that there are dasa, dasa, anudasa, that all of us should be servants of the servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna. That mood has been fully manifested in this world, in this dark age of Kali, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And for that reason, He's tried to inspire, by His example, by His instructions, that same desire within all of us to simply convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who have not followed that path, that although they may have been mother, for instance, Bhat Maharaj, his mother, was not trying to dissuade him or try to encourage him to take over the position of Lord Ramachandra, but he rejected his mother because of that. Shukracharya, he was acting as a spiritual pastor, but he was not encouraging Bali Maharaj to surrender to Krishna, to Lord Vamanadeva. And therefore, Lord Vamanadeva did not obey him. Similarly, we have those who have been fathers, mothers, demigods, worshipful spiritual masters, husbands. But unless they try to instruct their disciples, their followers, their dependents, on how to surrender to Krishna, then it is not very fruitful to follow their particular instructions. And what are those instructions ultimately meant for? Tesham Satyam Yudhana Bhajantam Riti Purkakam Vidani Buddhiyogam Tam Vena Mamukriyanti. As it says here, this very verse, Priti Purvakam, not only to follow the instructions, but to follow them with great pleasure and enthusiasm. What is the definition of enthusiasm? Endeavors executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm. And what is that endeavor? That actually everything in this material world is meant for the service of Krishna. Everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure. That is actually the Sankirtan movement. And what is that pleasure? Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabho matat sarvam pravartate iti matva vajante mam buddha bhava samanditaha. How can we possibly conceive of who is actually Krishna? How can we imagine someone who has unlimited beauty, unlimited strength, unlimited fame, unlimited wealth, unlimited renunciation? But we can hear about him. We can hear about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and understand something about the Supreme Lord's unlimited renunciation. We can hear Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, and how the lakes, the trees, the cows, the deer, the gopis, everyone and everything was attracted to Krishna. We can hear Bhagavad Gita and learn about Krishna's unlimited knowledge. So, machita, machkata, prana, bodhiyam, touch, parash, param, katayam, tasmam, vidyam, tushanti, charamanti, char. So from the very beginning, to the very perfectional level, it is the same process. And what is that process? Simply try to understand about Krishna. Try to accept that He actually is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that the goal of life is to hear from Krishna and from His representatives. Srila Prabhupada has given us a big, big mission. That's called the Sankirtan movement. Krishna is not present here, but he came 500 years ago as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So 500 years ago, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us how to manifest the rasa dance in this world. How to manifest, practically speaking, Krishna's pastimes in this world in Kali Yuga. There is absolutely no difference between the rasa dance and the sankirtan movement. When the devotees are chanting and dancing in ecstasy, they're actually engaged in the rasa dance with Krishna. When they're distributing books to the conditioned souls, they're actually acting as in the same mood as the gopis, trying to bring other Krishna's servants to please Krishna. When the devotees are taking prasadam, it is equally good as if we were in Vrindavan. That's if our consciousness is there with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan. It is equally as good depending upon our consciousness. So therefore in the beginning, although we may be engaged in the activities, still there's tushanti, there's satisfaction. We're doing the right thing. We're actually engaged in Krishna's pastimes. We're actually with Krishna and his devotees. And then as we varnam, as we gradually accept the process, as we gradually accept that we're actually not only Krishna's servant, but we're actually the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Yari Deha Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agar Murakana Tari Desh. That Krishna, he wants every one of us to go back to the spiritual world to be with him. And he wants each one of us to become an instrument in that service, in that mission. We may have a book distributor, they go out, they're not very much sure exactly what they're doing. People are telling them to get a job, go home, like Narada Muni told Dhruva Maharaj, go home. Dhruva Maharaj did not listen. If the book distributor goes out, stays there with determination, suffers, tattenu kampam susamikshamano bhunjane vatmakritam vipakam. And why do we suffer? We're only suffering because we don't understand that everyone is Krishna's eternal servant. Not a blade of grass is moving this world without Krishna's desire. So here's the question. We're there on book distribution, we're there preaching, we're there doing service. Why do we find ourselves in so much difficulty at times? What is the ultimate difficulty? Prahlad Maharaj says that there's no actual enemy in this world except for the uncontrolled mind. For those who can see me everywhere and who can see everything in me, I am never lost to him. Never, nor is he ever lost to me. So why don't we see Krishna everywhere? Why do we not see everything in Krishna? Why are we forgetful? So Krishna says, is it my fault? Many people blame Krishna. Prabhupada said, when devotee approached Prabhupada, said, Prabhupada, everyone is criticizing you. So Prabhupada said, well, they criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. So he said, Prabhupada, you don't understand, they're criticizing. So Prabhupada said, no, they also criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and still they're criticizing him. God comes, and many people, all they do is criticize him, calling him a thief, calling him a debauchee, calling him a killer, murderer. As I said last year, he was born in a jail. His parents were criminals. He fled. He grew up. And because of that criminal tendency, his nurse came and he killed her. A long list of problems he caused to other living entities. He became a thief at an early age and collected a mafia in Vrindavan. Finally, the king called him, trying to bring justice to the kingdom. But he continues his line of whatever, killing an elephant sent to greet him, killing wrestlers, and then killing the king himself. And then a whole list of things one can criticize Krishna for, if you have that attitude. But Krishna says, I'm actually not responsible. I am simply fulfilling whatever desires the conditioned soul has. I am sitting there, yes. I am watching it. But I am sitting there in the heart, watching everything that's going on, but I'm sitting as though neutral. Now, what is actually our problem? Due to the fact that since time immemorial, we've tried to imitate Krishna, therefore so many desires have been accumulated, and they're passing through our mind. And along with those desires, as they cover our consciousness, they cover our intelligence also. Therefore, we don't see things properly, we don't understand things properly, we don't feel things properly, and therefore we don't do things properly. And on top of that, we think we're perfect, powerful, happy. I have so many assets. I have so many things going for me. And anyone who criticizes me, that's because they're envious. And I never reveal my glories to the envious. They're covered by my energy. Or Krishna covers them because it's a partnership between me and him. No, in the beginning we have to understand what are good desires, what are desires in Krishna consciousness, and what are the other desires, the spiritual desires, the desires coming from Krishna. The desires coming from Krishna through his line of disciplic succession. If we can understand those desires, and we can understand the other desires, then we can actually orientate ourselves properly. And what is the symptoms of proper orientation? Then automatically causeless knowledge and detachment will develop. And what is that knowledge? In the beginning, it is realization that why do I have to impose my will on this world? Yes, I see things in a certain way. Yes, I have a certain conviction. Yes, I have a certain feeling. But am I really the absolute? Do I actually know everything perfectly? Should I actually take the super soul's place because he's asleep? I see exactly what should go on. I know in my heart because I'm a good person and I really have the best interest of everyone. But the problem is, they don't listen to me. They don't recognize me. If they only followed my instructions, everything would be perfect. Are we really on that platform that our will should become supreme? That we should impose our will on other people or even other devotees? Or are we also subjected to the modes of material nature? And although we may understand something about Krishna consciousness, although we may have some realizations that we want to share with others, although we may have some desire to help the conditioned souls come back to the spiritual world, but can we do that independently? Can we do that with full conviction that I know better than everyone else? Or do we have to do it cooperatively in the Sankirtan movement? So therefore, Krishna, he came, he displayed his pastimes in this world. He wants his pastimes to be all over the world, not only Vrindavan. He wants Vrindavan everywhere. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came 500 years ago to show how to bring Vrindavan everywhere. Although he did not travel outside of India, but as Advaita Acharya said, my dear Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wherever you are, that's Vrindavan. So our business is to bring Chaitanya Mahaprabhu everywhere. But who actually brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu everywhere? That's Srila Prabhupada. Our Srila Prabhupada. He went all over the world, and he brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu everywhere. So if we want to follow Krishna's orders, if we want to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's orders, then we have to follow Prabhupada's example, Srila Prabhupada's orders, how to spread Krishna consciousness everywhere. And what is that method he gave us? And what is he trying to achieve? He's trying to simply achieve to convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That Krishna is the owner of everything. Krishna, whether you say Krishna or God, Jehovah, Allah, that Krishna, he's the owner of everything in this world. And that everything is meant for his pleasure. And that he is actually the well-wisher and friend of everyone. So what is this weapons that Prabhupada gave us? First of all, Prabhupada formed a society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And he promised that he'd be in the society for at least as long as there are followers. Prabhupada said, I'll live in my books and my followers will live with me. He'll live in his instructions. And those who will follow his instructions will live with Prabhupada. But Prabhupada's not alone, just like the king is not alone. He's with all his confidential associates and servants. So Prabhupada is not living alone, he's also living with his confidential associates and servants. If we want to serve Srila Prabhupada, then we also have to please them. Even we may not think they're very elevated as Prabhupada, but Prabhupada used to say, if you love me, then love my dog. Not that his servants are his. Anyhow, we'd love to become Prabhupada's dog. Even Krishna has a dog in Goloka Vrindavan. So we have to become servants. And what is the mission? How do we convince people that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What did Prabhupada stress about everything else? Not only chanting Hare Krishna and following our sadhana, that he wanted us to do as the basic principle, and then become qualified to participate in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what is that mission? Prabhupada said it's a cultural revolution. It's a cultural revolution, a crusade. What kind of crusade? Dioramas, drama, art, music, concerts, everything and everyone utilizing their talents in the service of Krishna. Seeing every opportunity to utilize all this energy to dovetail it in the Sankirtan movement and the chanting of the holy names. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, it is not an ordinary chanting of Hare Krishna. We're not only eventually going to remember Krishna and Srimati Radharani when we're chanting Hare Krishna, but we're also going to remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pastimes. And not only are we going to remember Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pastimes, but eventually we'll also remember Srila Prabhupada and his pastimes. We're calling out to Lord Krishna to engage us in his loving service. We're calling out to Srimati Radharani, who gave us in his loving service, but that loving service is the Sankirtan movement as brought to us by Srila Prabhupada. That is the ISKCON movement that we're calling out to Krishna and Srimati Radharani to not only engage in the society, but to engage in it in a loving way, in a loving reciprocation with our God brothers, with our God nephews, God sisters, with everyone in this movement who engage in loving, while we're engaging our service to Srila Prabhupada, who engage in a loving way with all the devotees according to their different levels of spiritual attainment. To learn that knowledge of how to follow Prabhupada's instructions so that we learn how to cooperate in a unified way, appreciate the qualities of the devotees, develop love for them and appreciation, cooperation, so we get the strength, the determination, the conviction and the vision how to convince others who are innocent that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To utilize everyone's talent, whoever they may be, to join people together within the society, first with love and devotion, and then the innocent. And that way, not only unite our society with love and affection, all the members, to learn the art of loving exchanges within our society, but then to extend it to all the Gaudiyas, to unite them together, all with this focus that Krishna is God. We can put aside our differences, but we must conquer the world for Krishna. That's the vision that Srila Prabhupada would have. Forget about all these other things, but conquer the world for Krishna, then you can fight afterwards if you want to. Not, why just unite the Gaudiyas? Unite all the Hindus together. Unite anyone who believes in Krishna. Let them join the revolution, the cultural conquest. And why does the Hindus, anyone who's religious, let them be convinced that there's a God and we should utilize our energies to please Him, to glorify Him. So if we can unite together on that principle, then it's much easier to put aside our differences. Then, Srila Prabhupada will be pleased. He'll reveal to us all our great acharyas, their mission. Our great acharyas will introduce us to the six Goswamis. The six Goswamis will introduce us to the Panchatattva. The Panchatattva will introduce us specifically to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feelings of separation from Radha Krishna and Vrindavan. And if we fully engage our energies with great, as it says here, with great pleasure and great faith, with great determination, great steadiness, the more we do that, then the more we'll actually enter in Vrindavan with the ecstatic feelings of separation as given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his exalted followers, such as Srila Prabhupada and his faithful followers too. So, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Are there any questions? Hearing about the good qualities of Chaitanyas and how exalted they were and gentle and they followed the order of their father. But upon coming out of the water, the first thing they did is they destroyed all the trees that had grown up. And that seemed to be a very angry demonstration of mystic power of some kind, so much so that the demigod Indra had to stop it. So I'm always confused about that. The praising of their good qualities and then this burning of all the trees. Is that a manifestation of some kind of good quality? I don't understand.
understand it, or why the anger and the burning of all the trees?
Well, as far as I can remember, the trees were interfering with the ability of the residents to get proper nourishment. So it became a question, priority, either protect the citizens or protect the trees. The case is, as far as I remember, they decided to protect the citizens. So sometimes someone has to make priorities. It's not that the potatoes came out of the water and thought, well, we never got what we wanted for so many years, and now these, no. It was their duty, and they performed it. We don't, it's not explaining their consciousness, but we can understand that they're pure devotees, and therefore their consciousness was not out of envy or out of lust or greed that they were burning the trees, but out of duty, at least, if not out of service. Anything else? Yes. Okay.
You mentioned the example of Guru Maharaj, who rejected, apparently rejected the order of his spiritual master, go home. Yet, even though he did, and even though his motivation was wrong, to be bigger than Brahma, he attained ultimate spiritual perfection. Can you comment, please?
Yeah, I didn't mention Guru Maharaj, I mentioned only Bharat Maharaj and Bali Maharaj. Guru Maharaj was a little different. I mentioned him, he did, Narada Muni appeared there, and Guru Maharaj said, you know, I want a kingdom greater than my great-grandfather. And Narada Muni, to test him, said, well, why don't you go home? You're too young. And when you get older, you can come back, and then you can actually take up the self-realization. But Guru Maharaj said, no, I'm going to stay here. If anyone wants to go home, you go home. I'll stay here. But that was just testing his disciple.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You could reconcile the sin. I just came from Kenya, where we did some interfaith conferences, and we did marches for chanting Hare Krishna and for peace, telling the people that they should get along and see God as the root, and talking about things like the austerities of speech, and it appears that they forgave each other. Well, at the last election, they killed thousands of people, and we asked them to forgive each other. Why do we sometimes have a hard time forgiving factions of devotees when the actual damage was nothing even close to that?
Devotional service is a gradual process. And all the Prabhupada, I remember when I first joined, we had two brothers in the movement. They used to fight quite a bit. And I was always, when I used to go to, at that time, they were living in 61 Second Avenue. I was wondering about that until Prabhupada said one day that they're just like two pups in the same litter, fighting with each other. So our fighting is a little different. Even the fourth canto is, I think, Bhakti Vaibhav Maharaj read that verse during his class, that our fighting is not ordinary fighting sometimes, that the basis is to please Krishna. There may be disagreements at times. That the basis is to somehow or not, we may disagree how to please Krishna, but because Krishna is the basis, the center, therefore it's not ordinary fighting, it's actually spiritual. Now, if we fight simply out of envy, then Krishna will help us too, or Maya will help us. But it's not ordinary devotees' activities. Yes?
Thank you for the class. My question is, what
should be our attitude when we are the object of criticism?
What should be our attitude when we're the object of, who are we?
Say me, what should my attitude be?
Well, if you know who you are, and the persons who are actually so elevated that can actually criticize you, who you really are, then it would be quite blissful. Now, if you take off your shirt, and everyone walks by and says, bad shirt, bad shirt, will you feel offended? So, when people criticize us, who are they actually criticizing? Do they actually know who we are? Do we know who we are? So, they're criticizing our shirt, or our dress, whatever we have on. So why should we take it seriously? And if we take it seriously, that's what's serious. That's the serious problem. Otherwise, there is no problem. So, then we should understand we have a problem. And they're very kind to us, because they're pointing out that so if we can tolerate that, if we can understand that properly, then they're helping us overcome birth and death. Because at the time of death, there'll be a lot of, when Maya comes and drags us out of the body, we're going to have a lot of tolerance to remember Krishna at that time. So these people are being very merciful to me. They're showing me what I have to work on. And if I work on that sincerely, then they become my guru. They taught me how to overcome birth and death. Because who's going to say, oh, such a good body I have, how dare you? Look at my blood and skin and whatever else I have, how can you possibly not love it? If I really peeled away off the skin, that 1 inch of skin, then you'd appreciate it. Whatever, it's not. What we're disturbed about is not that they're attacking our body, not that they're attacking our ideas, not that they're attacking our feelings, they're attacking our false ego. They're attacking my idea that I'm something special and everyone should love me. Once we feel that, then it becomes intolerable. We want to be loved and appreciated. Even if what we're doing to them is not lovable and appreciable, then we should learn from them. Maybe, because after all, we're dasa, dasa, anudasa, and especially if it's a devotee, maybe there's something we can correct so that they'll actually develop some love and appreciation from us, and we'll be able to serve them better. So it's an opportunity to hear from them, to learn from them, how we can act in a way that they can love, we can serve them better. And if we serve them better, and they love and appreciate us more, then we'll actually be doing our duty to them. Not us. Nimitra matram bhava sava sachin. If we can act better as an instrument, surrender more, then they'll actually love and appreciate Krishna more. Because after all, if we become an instrument for Krishna, what they'll actually see, what they'll actually love, what they'll actually appreciate, is not ourselves. It's actually Krishna. Thank you very much. Grandra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Kamande.